All right, we're going to Romans chapter 1. I hope you're going with us. We're going to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to read the scripture tonight and understand it. Again, our emphasis is on faith. I'm going to get started here, and then I'm going to grab my parachute and jump on out and land with the teens for a few moments tonight, and then I'll come back and help to finish off this service here in the sanctuary. Because I want to be able to be part of what's going on here. Where do we leave off as far as the scripture goes? I believe it was the 8th verse. Maybe it was
we're
the 7th verse.
We're talking about faith. We
yeah,
deviated.
And that is the 8th verse.
And so that's the 8th verse that
of
we...
chapter 1.
Right, and we're just...
We're in the book of
Romans
highlighting
that word faith.
This is Don and Kathy live, along with our book night here tonight. So let's go to the 8th verse of chapter 1. On Romans, and let's get ready to read. Do we have a reader tonight? All right, we're going to continue here. Let's continue with our reader. And if you'll pick it up at the 8th verse, you're not going to get far. But we may be able to take you some other places if you get an opportunity. We always like to give people an opportunity to read on Wednesday nights and see what we can come up with. So go right ahead, would you please?
First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world.
Okay, now, let's just emphasize this for a moment. Your what is spoken of? It's not even love.
Faith.
It's your what?
Faith.
Now, let's break this down, because we want to understand this, and there's some instructions we need as believers, because once we would become born-again believers in the body of Christ, really, we're using our faith for the rest of our lives, because the just shall live by faith. Now, that's important, because Jesus said, let's go to St. John 10 and 10. Told you we wasn't going to go very far. Go to St. John 10 and 10. How important is it that you're living? And see, people want to throw away their living because they think about, I'm going to be one day in heaven, and that's when I'm really going to live it up. That's when people really going to see the life that God has given me. But the life that God wants you to have, he wants you to have it now.
Amen.
Say now.
Yeah.
Not later, but now. God wants you to enjoy this life. Yeah. Now, for some people, it's hard for them to accept that, because there is suffering. You will suffer. Don't worry about it. You're going to see some suffering on this planet and with mankind. You're going to have some suffering even as a believer. There will be some things that try to come
against
you.
That's what I was going to say. In heaven, of course, we know it's perfect. It's a perfect place. In fact, I just love that scripture where it says that Jesus or God will wipe away our tears.
I was just reading it. Let's go right now to Revelations 21, okay?
God
Let's
himself.
Go to Revelations 21.
I just love that.
Because this is important to know, because you're going to have tears here.
But that's why we need faith on this earth. In heaven, we won't need it, because we'll be face to face with our Lord and Savior.
Yes.
And so we won't even need faith anymore.
Right.
We'll see him. We'll know him in a perfect state. But right now, we need faith on this earth. But I just love that scripture where it says God will wipe away our tears.
And he will do that. Let's actually start in this 21st chapter, and let's look at
Revelation.
This is Revelations 21. There's only 22 chapters to the book of Revelation. And a lot of people avoid the book of Revelation. It's supposed to be like spooky or scary, or they read it only around Halloween or something. I don't know. But it should.
Thank God that's over.
Those of us that are believers in Jesus Christ, we actually should read the book of Revelations just like any other book of the Bible.
Well, you know, there's a promise that's tied to the book of Revelation.
In the beginning.
If you read it.
We
should, maybe, I'm going to give you guys this, because I think it's important, because I think it'll encourage you to read Revelation. See, let me say this, it's not greed that if we want everything that God says that he'll give to us, right?
Right.
So we just need to be obedient to his word. But it's in here where the book of the first chapter, it says, let me try to find it here.
It's not very far. It says,
if you
blessed
find
is
it.
The one that,
yeah.
Well, I'm not looking there. I'm looking at 21.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Let me see if I can find it. If not, then we'll just move on. But it's scripture says, blessed are those that read.
this account,
and I don't think I have it underlined. So I'll come back to it. Go ahead and read yours, and I'll find it.
Yeah, okay. Sounds fine. Now, let's go to this Revelation 21. We're going to read the first, we could read the first five or four verses, but we're going to probably go all the way down to the eighth verse. Now, as we read this, you have to settle in your heart, this is just the truth. This is what is going to happen. Now, we don't know how all these things, some things in the book of Revelation are given in prophetic ways they're symbols of things like, you know, a lion or different things like that, the horses and all the things that are in there, the characters, not the characters, but the descriptions of the different things, the animals that are described, and a lot of things that are in there are given to give us understanding, but not to give us the specific details. And this is why it is a book of mystery, but it is a book of prophecy also of what will come to pass. Some of the things in the book of Revelation have already come to pass. A few of the things there in the book of Revelation have come to pass. But many of the things that are in the book of Revelation have not come to pass, but will come to pass. You got to know this is just it. This is the truth, and you just believe what you see there.
So here it is in Revelation 1:3. It says, blessed is he who reads,
right,
and those who hear the words of this prophecy,
right,
and keep those things which are written in it. For the time is near.
So God wants to bless you by reading the book of Revelation. It's not a book to avoid. You should be reading it, studying it, praying about it, getting books about book of Revelation. There's a lot because of the fact that it's prophecy and it's done in such a way with symbols and understandings that are dark to us.
It didn't even say understanding. I mean, because we're not going to understand.
Well, you won't understand
a lot of
it.
This. It says read and those that hear.
Right.
Because there's some things we won't understand until we get to heaven.
Right. There's some of these things that are described there that you're not going to. But a lot of this goes back to the book of Daniel, the book of Ezekiel, different Old Testament books back up what it's saying in the book of Revelation. But don't be ever afraid to read the book of Revelation. You can see you get blessed by doing that in verse number 3 of the book of Revelations here, chapter 1. Now, let's go to verse 21. I'm going to read this myself this time. It says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now, understand this. The earth that we are presently on will not remain through eternity. God is going to. So ain't no sense in putting your heart and all on everything on here. I mean, you know, you may have a beautiful house, nice cars, nice whatever, nice business, big building you own or whatever. If you put your heart on this, this is not going to last. Heaven and earth will pass away. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. Now, I can't tell you exactly how all that's going to happen, but all I'm saying to you is this is the word of God. We just have to believe that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
There is a new heaven and a new earth that's coming out that God is going to have for us. I believe because this earth is going to be so used up until he's, you know, with, you know, the waste, the nuclear, the this and that, all the stuff, all the things that are here. We will want a new earth, okay? Because God, now he's not, and you'll see this in the Bible, especially in the book of Revelations a lot. God is not making all new things, but he's making all things new. God is a restorer, so I believe the new earth will actually be earth redone. And that's just my way of thinking of it. Just like when you needed to be born as a believer, he didn't have you replaced and born again in your mother's womb like Nehemiah, not Nicodemus thought you had to be done. It's to get born again by going back into your mother's womb. That's not what happens. He had you born again, but you were actually the same person. You didn't become a new person, but that you became a renewed person, okay?
I say amen, too, about that.
So, you know, you still
be pregnant again. That's good.
Oh, Kathy,
good.
Go on.
Oh, I just wanted
the
to
woman
insert
stuff.
That. I think the women will appreciate
it.
That.
Man, I tell you. See, and I'm trying to stick on the word as she goes off on these
born
things.
Born again, you have to go back into
now,
your
mother's
womb.
Now, I'll have to
womb.
Counsel
Thank
her
God
tonight.
God
I'll
had a better
help
plan.
Her. I'll help her.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, boy. Here
laughter,
we go.
Laughter's like medicine.
We laughing. Ha, ha. Okay. So, he loves to make new things new that were, you know, like he's this is a year of restoration.
Yes.
It was so amazing. We have our band members now. You all think we forgot about that. Our orchestra and band meets every week, either Thursdays or Tuesdays. Now it's regular Tuesday nights. And they are really, some of these I asked them, I said, when was the last time you played an instrument? 40 years ago. 38 years ago. So all these old grandpas or grandmas. I said, look, and I'm the maestro, right? So I'm picking some music that's, you know, it's just moving and grooving. And the grandpas are trying to catch up. And the grandmas trying to pluck. We remember where the keys were. Trying to find the stuff. They got their bifocals on and stuff. It's just amazing. But God is restoring what they knew. See, they went through high school. Like, I took 6 years of percussion through high school, but I forgot about it when I turned 18. Well, I'm not 18 no more. you got to add about 50 to that and 52 to that. And so 52 years ago, I was playing an instrument.
I'm glad pretty you good. Finally admitted that you're not 17, I think you were
well,
telling people.
I was
right?
going to say, those 18 years means that I'm 17. I don't know. No, I don't mean that. Okay, so God restores. That's the point I'm trying to
yes.
make. He is a restorer.
Yes,
so
yes.
whatever is messed up, and this is how you got to think when you see people that's messed up. Yeah. Messed up on drugs, alcohol, messed up lives, sickness, disease, all kinds of different things. You got to see that they could be renewed. Yeah. They could be restored. Because he makes not all new things. See, because there's some of us, we only want it if it's brand new. But God doesn't just go that way. He makes all things new because he is such a restorer. He is such a refurbisher. I mean, he just, you know, he just does a great thing with that. So we have to keep that in mind as we serve the Lord, that God's, there's nothing that God can't fix. And you can use your faith on that, because I was telling you last week, never, ever, ever lose hope. Because if you lose hope, we're talking about faith here in Romans chapter 1, verse number 8. It says that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. I want to ask you, is your faith spoken of? Who speaks of your faith? Don't answer that question. It could be incriminating for some people. Not you, but somebody else. Right? Because, see, we have to use our faith. Because people should be speaking of our faith. What happens? Because they see something in the physical, the faith produced. So they're saying, hey, they were dealing with this sickness, disease. They were dealing with challenges with their household or challenges with their finances or whatever. But look at what happened to them. They use their faith, and then that is talked about around the world. People are talking about around your world. People are talking about what happened with you. See, we need something to be able to show for. If we serving God all these years, we ought to have something to show for. And that's where faith comes in, because you have to use your faith to be able to have something. Because the faith, even though faith is invisible, faith is the substance of things not things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Things not seen. We want to keep faith invisible. But after you use your faith, something should be visible. I mean, we couldn't use our faith forever. What if we were still using our faith to build a building? We're sitting out there on the sidewalk without a building trying to have a church. Okay, we had to use our faith, but our faith had to work. We had to go and do some things to because we had faith, believing that it would happen. Your faith has to have some action to it. Amen. Put some boots on that faith. Make it walk. The boots are made for walking. I don't know if that fits. But anyhow, you know, you got to make your faith do some stuff. And make your faith get that healing for you. Don't you go running around trying to get everything looking like you doing so well.
And then also just the faith in the Lord, too, that people here, sort of like your family members, you know, they knew that you
How
were
do you
the
know
worst,
family members?
You were the worst sinner in the family. And now they're hearing,
Lord.
Yeah, Joe got Jesus in him now. He's a religious man now. So it goes through your family. You know, cousins and everybody else. Yeah, he's he received Jesus, or however they will articulate that. But your faith is being heard. Who your faith is in, it's in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And also, I want to add to what you were saying, too, is a peace. They can see that,
yes,
hey, you know, he was the worst sinner in the family, mm-hmm, but now he has peace.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're talking about that faith that you have in Jesus,
right,
and it's producing peace in your life.
Right, right,
and
right.
So that's a blessing that it will spread. It's sort of like how we say bad news always travel fast. Well, your faith shall travel faster, you know.
That's
and so
good.
Thank God for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, let's look at this. Revelations 21, we're going to go down, I guess, 8 verses. It says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more. Please underline no more. In this book of Revelation, you're going to see where there's a lot of no mores. God says, that's it. We're done with that. We're not putting up with that. There was no more sea. Now, think of this.
Praise God.
Go to the coast and look out there on the Pacific Ocean, okay? There'll be no more sea. Now, I'm taking this as the S-E-A, because
yeah,
that's what it's saying. There will be no more, no, and amplified, there is no longer any sea, okay? So you can put the boats up. You ain't gonna need no boat. I don't know why God don't want no boat. I guess because you're gonna walk all over the earth instead of take a boat. You're just going, whatever. But, you know, we are 80 to 90% water ourselves. Water is a vast part of this earth, but this new earth will not have a sea at all. There will be no whales. There'll be no sharks, I guess, you know, because they live in salt water in the sea, as it were. So there will be no sea. Now, I'm assuming that sea means ocean also. Again,
yeah,
these things are spoken metaphorically,
yeah,
in the book of Revelation. So you have to somewhat use God's imagination in your own heart and your own mind of, Lord, what are you really saying here? And really search a matter out. You can spend your whole life on the book of Revelation by itself. It is a deep, deep study, okay? But it's fun. And then it says here in the next verse, I'm going to continue to read here. We'll get back to our reader in just a little bit. It says here, there were no more sea. Then I, John, because John was one of God's followers, and he was the last one to live. And he was sent to the island called Patmos. It was an island where basically there was nobody there. He was like marooned on that island. And they put him in boiling oil to kill him, but he wouldn't die. They did all kinds of things trying to kill John because John preached so much. They got so sick of John. And so they just put him on the island. And while he's sitting there on the island, Gollum gives him the book of Revelation. you can't stop this guy. You know, he just kept going and kept going and kept going. And there's a whole lot of things about this that when we get into the study of the book of Revelation, we'll get into and help you to understand. But I'm just giving you just the Revelation light tonight. I'm not giving you the whole thing that we would normally get into and be very deep. Perhaps we'll have a class in our ministry training school in MTS on just the book of Revelation, which would be a good study. It says, then I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Remember Dr. Frederick or Apostle Frederick Casey Price talking about this, because there's some understanding that we're the bride of Christ, but then you see a city here that is the bride of Christ coming out of heaven, and he was like, you know, we have to really study this stuff through, because we don't know everything of what it's saying here. We're going to have to really understand. Different theologians have different ideas of what's going on concerning what it's saying here. But let's continue, because we want to get down to what I want to get down to, which is our subject tonight.
But we can agree that it is going to be, first of all, a holy city.
That's right.
I think we all want that,
mm-hmm,
you know, because we don't live in a holy city.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about Tacoma, Washington, where we're at right now.
Right.
And Seattle's
neither
not
is
a
Jerusalem
holy city.
Neither is Jerusalem in Israel right
Lacey's
now.
Lacey's not a holy city. I mean, because
yeah, Olympia.
People live there. And there's some unholy people.
Right.
And so what we can agree and what we do know is that this place is going to be holy.
Right.
Okay, no more sin.
But this city is coming from God, it says.
And it's a new Jerusalem.
Right. Prepared. And see, we've been to Jerusalem and going through there. I mean, there was some crazy stuff going on. Yeah, I didn't bring any of the photos tonight. I just didn't think we would go this far this way. But anyhow, the military walks around with machine guns most of the time there because they have a lot of things that happened while we were there. There's parts of Jerusalem that we could not visit, that we were scheduled to visit. We couldn't. They just canceled us out because there was violence going on there. I mean, you know, there was people running over people that were standing there waiting for a bus, for example. A lot of terrorist kind of things were going on at the time when we were there in Israel. So Jerusalem needs to be renewed. We need a new Jerusalem because there's a lot of violence that has gone on in the Jerusalem that we see here in the nation of Israel right now. And God is going to give us something new or renewed out of that city and coming out of God. It says, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Please underline that. The Lord wants to spend time with you. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. Do you know you are owned? God sees you as his people.
Yes.
In Isaiah it says, this people I have formed for myself. See, he formed the believer for himself. And that's why somebody starts messing with you, you better warn them. You better leave me alone. You know, I'm a child of God. I mean, you know, you're messing with the wrong person. And I like to tell the ones that act a fool, I won't go there. But anyhow, because we've had some people act a fool with us that we don't know. I mean, you know, people are just stupid sometimes. And I try to warn them. I say, the same thing you're trying to put on me, it's coming back to you, multiply. It's coming back because there's an anointing on me. And so you'll get it, but you're going to get it multiplied. The anointing works both ways. Think about it. Sodom and Gomorrah, they were coming to try to attack the angels. We were studying that at one point. And, of course, the angels just waved their hand, and all of a sudden, all the folks that were trying to come attack them to have sexual relationships with them, sodomize them, were blind. That was the anointing of God. That's the power of God or the Holy Spirit. So the anointing can work both ways. In flying aircraft, we call it being on the backside of the power curve. You're going fast, but you're going fast where you don't want to go. You're going fast down, okay? Or the power ain't working your way that you want it to work. So you're on the backside of that power curve. You got to get back on the front end of that thing where you're controlling why you're going that fast and where you're going with being going that fast. And see, you can have the anointing working against you. And this is what happened with Paul. He was coming against persecuting Jesus, not the church, but Jesus. Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? And it caused him to go blind, okay? He was blind and had to be prayed for, and then he received the Holy Spirit after he was prayed for. God ain't playing. I mean, this is serious stuff. And you really need to remind your relatives, you better leave me alone. You may have changed my diapers, but that ain't got nothing to do with right now, okay? I ain't thinking about my diapers right now. You think about my diapers. I'm thinking about the Lord, okay? So get your mind clean off my diapers. You better know who I am and leave me alone accordingly or love me accordingly. You see what I mean? You have to warn people because they don't know. And, you know, it's sort of like Stephen being stoned or Charlie Kirk being killed. I mean, that was actually a modern day, that was an execution. That was an assassination that actually happened during our time in real time on a real campus that we have maybe friends, relatives, or somebody goes to. And that actually did happen over his belief in Jesus Christ. Come on, folks. That's a martyr. He died for the cause of Christ. Of course, he talks of political things, too. But he was using righteousness in the Bible to do that. And we can't sit there and say, well, he had it coming to him. That ain't what's, you ain't right either. No, he didn't have nothing coming to him. He should have had the blessings of God. But he just got to heaven quicker. But, you know, it still wasn't right. And whoever did that, they need to be punished to the hilt because of that. Because God is with us. Say, God is with me.
God is with me.
Say it again. Say, God is with me.
God is with me.
Say again, God is with me. And I heard a loud voice from heaven. I love that. God's got a voice just like you got a voice. That's why you should cry out to him to heaven while he cries out to you from heaven.
Mm-hmm. God doesn't mind things being a little loud.
I know.
Because it talks about even the cymbals, you know, playing the instruments loud.
I know. Okay. And so I just got a report on Sunday. Somebody said the music is too loud here sometimes.
Well, sometimes it can be. Yeah. But I'm just saying that, you know, God.
Well, we can't hear as much here because we just hear these monitors. We don't really hear what you hear.
Yeah, we hear it a little
So we don't know exactly how loud it is, but that ain't no excuse. But anyhow.
But sometimes what I'm trying to say is sometimes that we are too quiet. It's okay to praise the Lord and be loud about it and, you know, and really vocal about it. I mean, tonight at intercessory prayer, and I want to thank our intercessors. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Raise your hand if you're in there, intercessors. They're praying for you guys. I mean, thank God that we're praying for this congregation. But when you go in there, we're pretty loud, you know, because we're praying.
Make the devil
for
nervous.
The prayer guys. So anyway, I just wanted to assert that. I mean, that's not no big revelation, but just.
I heard a loud voice from heaven. John is saying this. John, the revelator, saying what? Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Now, that's going to happen whether we like it or not. God's going to dwell with his people, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and their God. This is why if people are not comfortable with even coming to church, how are you going to spend time with God?
Forever.
I mean, you know, the most comfortable place you should be as a believer is coming to church, being with your own brothers and sisters. How are you going to go to heaven?
Every time the doors open at the church, you know, we should want to be there.
That's right.
Because, you know, I don't know. To me, it's like we're coming out from,
let's go to the next verse.
You know, the chaos that's in the world. We come in the sanctuary, hearing about God, learning about God, you know, praising the Lord. Yeah. I think it's just a good place to
be. It is. And see, you got to understand there's something wrong if you don't want to
be with God forever.
You like being with people that are not saved more than you like being with Christians. Some of us, we'd rather go to work than go to church. Something wrong with that. You know, you go to work and they're cussing and acting a fool and, you know, playing games with each other and conniving against the other. Not every time, but all the time. But, you know, they're not about the Father's business. And we should get in here and be about the Father's business. And I don't apologize. I mean, you know, I know we all volunteer our time to doing the different things. But I believe we should be just as serious about the things we do here as we do in the world when they're paying us.
Even more so.
Because I believe you get paid better by God, even though you may not be getting it, you know, transferred into your account. Man, he's protecting you and watching over you, blessing your kids and making it easier for you and healing your body. And come on now. We need to just give God some glory and thank him for that. Come on, let's just have a praise break right now. Just thank him for it.
You know, that's a thought, though, because when I was in prayer tonight and the Terry Manning was leading the prayer tonight, and I was that just came to my mind. It was something she was praying about. And so it came in my mind. I said, you know, there's only so long we work, you know, out in the workforce and, you know, maybe 65. You know, where 65 would retire, 75, whatever age, you know, you retire. Right. But pretty soon, and the title you carry, pretty soon that's over with.
Yeah.
It's gone. And I don't know, for some reason, I thought about that when she was praying about something. And I said, but what we do for Christ and the relationship with the Lord, that can continue on forever until we're up in heaven, you know? And it's just a blessing that we can continue on, and no matter how old we get on this earth, we can continue to, like, be in the prayer room praying, you know. And it's just a blessing, even though our titles is off the door now, you know. But we still can serve God no matter how old we get. And I think about, help me out, who was the former president? I think it was, he went Bush? Right back after he.
Was it Bush?
I think it was after, well, when I say
Bush
that, after
two,
he, yeah, who was it? No, it wasn't Bush. Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter.
And after he
went back to teaching
he was
Sunday
back
school.
Teaching his Sunday school and you know the smaller crowds and the Sunday school and he was faithful.
He enjoyed
until
that
until he passed on.
That's
and
right.
So,
that's right.
It's just wonderful that we love Jesus
and let's
so much.
I like that because we need as much as we get blessed and all this is going on and blah blah blah. Keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
Stay simple. Yep. Don't get all this ego about yourself and you're all that and you know and oh gosh,
whatever
man, forget it.
In this life, it's just all
enjoy what you're doing and don't get no big head and all this stuff. And God can give you more because you don't need to act like you're all that. People know who you are and aren't. And so we're all just human beings. So we should give God some glory. Now, I want you to make note of this because there are some benefits in going to heaven.
Yes. Amen.
Now, you ain't got all your benefits down here. You got
you got
a part of your
here.
Benefit package here.
Right.
But HR's got some serious stuff when you get up there.
Right.
Okay, because that's
Amen.
A promotion.
Yeah.
And so when you get up there, it says, and God, and I love it.
That.
It's God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You will not be able to. I don't believe you're gonna have tear ducts.
I don't think we're gonna have it. We don't need them.
I don't think you're gonna be able to create tears. Now I have a problem because when I laugh, I cry. So I'm wondering if that's gonna happen too. I won't be crying when I'm laughing. But anyhow, God will wipe away, and He says every tear. He ain't say some of them. Every tear from their eyes. Now you just gotta settle that. So you may be crying down here, going through all kinds of challenges. You get up there, every tear is gone. Why? Because there's no need for tears because you're not going to be sitting down there worried about things or even thinking about the things of your past. You're not going to be even concerning yourself with that. Somehow God's going to give us a renewed mind or a new mind.
Yes.
We'll have the mind of Christ. Well, we're not sitting around here worried about all the stuff we messed up and how we went through this, that. Now, we're not going to have the ability to go back and see all the problems and cry about them. Okay, you don't want to anyhow. So do your crying now, get it over with, because up there, there's none. No tears whatsoever. So Kleenex is, Kimberly Clark is out of business.
But isn't it interesting?
Up there.
And I know I think it's deeper than maybe what we're even talking about tonight. And maybe I'm going to talk to God about it. But I think it's so awesome where He says He will do it, you know. And it's something,
well, He's going to be with
it's
us.
It's something permanent about it,
yeah.
You know, that's just in my spirit. That is something that, because tears can represent, you know, joy or sorrow.
Yeah.
And so I believe that that's what He's saying. He's just going to wipe away everything that causes us to cry.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
In the next part of the verse, He talks about sorrow and crying.
Yeah.
He says, and there will be no longer death.
No more death.
So death will not be in heaven. Now, let me just say something also. There's all this gender stuff going on down here. There will be no male or female in heaven. Okay?
Yeah.
There are no males and females. We are all neuters.
Yeah.
Whatever that is, you don't need nothing. Okay? God ain't having no obstetrician up there delivering no babies. Now, I especially reading, and God sort of put this in my heart, but I was reading Jesse Duplantis' book about heaven, which is very good. It's very detailed, too. He had a vision where God took him to heaven as well, and he saw heaven, and he saw babies there. And in the book, it describes, you remember that part, and the babies or the little children are saying, prepare for me a body. Let me go down there. Let me go down there. And I really believe that there are children that are in heaven, but there will be no tears. There will be no more death. We will not be procreating in heaven. All of this, what gender are you, is stupid because it don't even mean nothing to a believer. Because you're going to get that up. Some of y'all happy. Some of you sad. I don't know. I'm just going to leave that alone and move on. Okay. There will be no more death. No longer will there be sorrow.
Yes.
That's what you just brought up. Mm-hmm. You won't be sorry about anything and anguish. Now, we're supposed to be
crying.
No crying. Or crying or pain.
Yeah.
So you can forget pain.
Pain is over.
If you're hurting now, you won't be hurting there. Okay,
I think it's emotional pain.
And as you get up, sometimes in pain.
I think it's physical pain. I believe it includes emotional pain. But there'll be no more.
There's just no more pain. Praise now, you got to get this. If you go in there, there will be no pain. There's no need to cry. There's no anguish. Ain't no anxiety, none of that stuff. You won't need them pills no more. You won't need nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, so praise you can hang that up. For the former things have passed away. And all God has to do is say it, and it's over.
Amen.
And he said it there, so it is over. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And there's Isaiah 25:8 as a reference, and also 35:10. You can be able to look in Isaiah to get some reference. Now, I need to move on. We're halfway there. It says, and he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all new things. Also, he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. They are accurate. Now, I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. They are accurate, incorruptible, and trustworthy. So God is doing something. I'll go back to the King James. New King James. Let's go back to the New King James, and let me read it out of that. And he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. In other words, he's not making all new things. He's making all things new. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. So you're renewed. You ain't going to be a different you. The new Don Shorter or the new Kathy Shorter or the new, whoever you are. That's not what we're not getting a new one. We're making all things new. So there's going to be a new way about you. So we're supposed to be training for heaven. So we need to start that renewing now. We don't wait till we get to heaven. So we start changing now. We have to start changing now. This is where people, this is the way I've always been. Well, why? You ain't supposed to be like that. You're supposed to be changing all the time. So what was a challenge last year shouldn't still be just a challenge today. What you went through last year, don't be trying to bring that back to this year. Problems you had last year, forget that, And here we're in a year of restoration, so it's like we're in rehearsal for heaven. Because it's going to be all new anyhow. Now, I do believe that there, like my wife and I'm asking to be her neighbor, if she got to have her own mansion, but I think she can live in mine. But I live in hers. I don't care. But, families will know one another, and they will remember, they will see themselves as family. Some of the different ones, and it's not in the Bible. So you have to go by the accounts of people that you believe tell the truth or truthful preachers that have, or ministers, or those that have heard from God that are truthful people. You have to just rely off of their accounts, because there's not a whole lot of scriptures in there saying that, there's no State Farm insurance up there. I mean, it doesn't tell you all the details about what's going on up there. You have to be able to trust, and if those that get a glimpse of heaven or a glimpse of glory, you have to be able to believe what they're saying. And so I've heard ministers that have experienced or seen a vision of heaven or whatever said that they saw families there. In one instance, a family that had been in a plane crash, and the whole family was gone, but they were all together in heaven. So, why wouldn't you know? As it is in heaven, let it be done here on earth. So what it's like in heaven, it's just a copy of earth is a copy of heaven. God created it as it is in heaven, let it be done here on earth. So we should be living heaven on earth, or preparing for heaven on earth. So these things, you shouldn't be living a life where you're crying all the time or sorry all the time. You're just a sorry Christian. You don't want to be that. You get to the point where you're not in pain all the time. You're in anguish all the time. We're practicing for heaven. Y'all got that? Okay, so that's the lifestyle teaching part of that. And he said to me, write, for these things are true and faithful. Now, either we believe the word of God or we believe God's a liar. He told John, write, for this is true and faithful. So we need to believe this stuff. Just believe it. And some things you don't understand. You don't need understanding for everything, but you do need faith. Now, let's move on to the next. Well, it's true and faithful. It's full of faith. Then this next verse, verse 6, it says, and he said to me, it's done, or it's finished, or it's over. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Now, Jesus is the author and the finisher of what?
Our faith.
Of what?
Faith.
What if you don't have no faith? He ain't got nothing to finish, does he? So you're going to have faith. If he's the author, he starts you with that faith and he finishes it. The finished product of faith is something in the physical that shows that I had faith and it worked. You are looking at faith when you sit in this building.
You know, the Lord put something on my heart. He just dropped something in my heart about the beginning and the end. And the Lord said, if you start with him at the beginning, you'll get to the end.
Mm.
Because he's the author.
And the finisher.
And the finisher. Mm-hmm. So if you start with Jesus, no matter if it's a business, no matter if it's a marriage, if you start with him as the foundation.
Yeah.
Will last to the end because he's the author and the finisher.
Right.
And so if you're trusting him at the beginning, he'll be there at the end. I think that's good. Thank you, Father.
So he's the author. And, you know, as an author, it's amazing because I'm writing two or three books right now. It's amazing how you look at the treatment of how you're going to do it. What do you want to emphasize and what parts you're going to be in
there. Different chapters
of your life. Different chapters. You know, how many chapters? What kind of book we want this to be? Do we want it hardbound? Do we want it to be? You know, there's all these things about being an author. It's the starter. It's the beginning. You're starting something that nobody really understands. And then when you finish it, people's lives are changed. You know, we get letters and stuff like that from people that have been blessed by our books. As an author, I'm just using the word author, or the beginning, the one that begins and also ends. But there comes a time where, you know, because you can write that book forever and keep adding more and more and more and more. You got to get to the point where you just say, okay, that's it. We're going to go to the end of this book and finish it off. You really make that decision.
Even those books, I saw a book. I was in the bookstore the other day, and I saw a book about this thick.
Yeah.
And I said, they kept writing and writing and writing.
You can keep writing forever.
And they wanted to keep writing forever, but they knew they had to bring this thing to an end.
Right,
and it ended up being this
real thick book.
And I said, I'm not ready to read.
Jesus is that author. He is that finisher. Now, Buddha is not. Buddha is not the author and the finisher of nothing, okay? Hare Krishna and all this other stuff, the New Age movement, the devil sure ain't no author of nothing, okay? He certainly can't finish anything. In fact, he's finished. So ain't no sense in working with him. So Jesus is the only one in the universe that can begin it with you and end it with you the right way. So make him the author and the finisher of your marriage. Make him the author and the finisher of the relationships you're involved. Make him the author and the finisher of your business. Don't start that business without him. And then make him a partner. Make him senior partner. I make him pilot in command when I'm flying. You fly this thing. I ain't flying this thing by myself. You tell me, you know. And the Lord came to me the other day because he told me something that was really just sort of flipping, just real quick. And I didn't really listen to it. And he said, now, that was me talking to you. And you thought I was just saying, you know, he was just thinking something. No, I told you don't do that. I told you to do that. I can't remember what it was. And like this morning, he gave me something. And he said, go look at the clock. And I have all my clocks that I set 10 minutes fast, okay? So when I look at the clock, I know it's actually, I got 10 minutes, because it usually takes me 10 minutes to get done with what I got to do to get out of there by the time the clock really is saying what it is. Anyhow, that's the way I think. President Bush did 15 minutes fast. He was always 15 minutes fast. Of course, Clinton was always late. But anyhow, he said, go look at the clock. It was 7:04. I mean, it was 7:14. He said, it's 7:04. I told you this at 7:04. Okay, so I want you to make note of it, and because you're not going to have time to write it down. I didn't write it down, but I still got it, because we have to realize that God speaks to us, and he wants us to be his when he starts things, and he started something when he spoke that. Mm-hmm. He resurrected something in my life when he spoke that. And,
well, think about the Bible. We have a beginning, and we have the end.
You got the Genesis, and you got the Revelation.
Yeah, and if you go actually to the end, to the last part of the Bible.
Chapter 22.
He says, he who testified to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Settle it. It's in.
It's in. That's it. There's no more to add to this. Now, and what God said in his word, he said in Revelation chapter 1, he says, anybody that adds to this book or takes away from this book will receive either the adding of the curses or the, you know, the negative things going on in their life or the taking away of the blessings that they could get that's in the book. Mm-hmm. So there's a sentence for not allowing this to be the author and the finisher. Let him be the beginning and the end. You can't add to the scriptures. Mm-hmm. It's over. It's been canonized, okay? We just saw a documentary about that, the canonizing of the Bible and how they put it together and all the years that it took and all of the sweat and all of the things that prove that this is the inerrant word of God. Amen. This is God's word. And you got to settle that and just follow it and stop trying to, you know, with your third grade education or, you know, 16 years of college, trying to be able to figure out more than what God knows. Okay. It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. Now, you're going to have to make yourself thirst. I can't make you thirst. It's what amazes me. Sometimes people just have, you know, you put water in front of them, you put food in front of them. They don't want to eat. They don't want to drink. And there ain't nothing I can do. You're going to have to pray for a hunger. For the word of God. You have to literally go home and ask God, give me a desire for the word of God. You have to ask for that. Give me a desire to serve you. Give me a desire for worship. Give me a desire.
Give me a desire to not have to work on Wednesday or Sunday morning.
That's right. Sunday morning you're working and Wednesday night you're working.
God will give you the desires of your heart.
Because you're not asking for something different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's finish it. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We've got a couple of verses left. But, oh no, doggone it, I thought we were done. Nope, we're not. But, let's go to the King James Version. I like that better, and we'll get back to this. But the fearful. See, this is why you shouldn't be living in fear. Amen. God is not looking for you to be a Christian coward. You need to be bold in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not in the power of your might, but in the power of his might. But it says the fearful. Look at the New King James Version and what it's actually saying. The fearful. What is it saying? The cowardly. God don't want you scared, nervous in the service. He wants you strong in the Lord. He wants you bold. He wants you to know that what you're part of, he's going to take care of you.
Amen. That's right.
It says, but... Because, see, these people are all excluded from going to heaven. Now, I got to say this to you. I know what you said. Confess your mouth, Jesus the Lord. Believe in your heart, God raised you from the dead. You shall be saved. Okay. Did you confess yet? Yeah, you confess. You believe. Yeah, did you believe yet? Well, I don't know if you believed or not, but you say you did. Yeah, I believe in my heart. And so I'm saved. Well, God rewards based on what happens during your life, too. So you can't just go and confess with your mouth, Jesus Lord, believe in your heart that God raised you from Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. You can't just get that and then go live like the devil.
That's right. You wouldn't want to live. If you're really born again, you wouldn't want to live like the devil.
Like you wouldn't want to be with unbelievers versus believers.
You wouldn't feel comfortable living like the devil anymore.
No.
You may still have to grow. Of course, you're going to grow and change because when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, everything, I mean, your spirit is born again, but you have to renew your mind.
That's
you have to
right.
get out of stuff that you're
thing.
In and all that kind of stuff. But you want to do it when you're born again.
Yeah.
And you feel ugly, you feel bad if you still try to continue to live.
And you should have some shame. This is what's happening now with this society. People have no shame. That's abnormal. There's a scripture in Ephesians. I don't have time to go there. Second Timothy also, the 2 Timothy chapter 3, maybe it's Ephesians, but anyhow, it says your past feelings. In other words, you don't have any feelings even when you do wrong. You can go out, kill somebody or fornicate or whatever you're doing, and you don't even have any feelings about it. Your past feeling, that's lasciviousness, that's lawlessness, that's licentiousness. Greek word seems to mean means it, it's just you cast off restraint.
That's
you just don't have anything.
That happened, that's
right.
Dangerous.
That's a dangerous person. And so we got to get to the point where you do have shame.
Amen.
You should feel bad about the sins you committed.
Right.
And maybe you didn't mean to. You just got caught. You know, and sometimes we get caught. You know, when we're especially we just growing up and things. But to sit there and blatantly go out and do some sin and then try to flaunt it in front of everybody else's face, like, shut up, you can't judge me.
And
yes,
God
I can. I judge fruit when I go to the produce department, and I'm judging you and your fruit.
And God hasn't struck me. You know, he hasn't.
Yeah, he ain't God hurt. If God wasn't upset with me, he ain't struck me down. So what are you talking about? See, that is not a repentant heart. That is something that is not, it's abominable. That's what it is. That's the third one. See, because God doesn't want us to be cowards. See, that, and you know, it's like we're always teaching ourselves something new and we've got to work on this now. But hey, this is the kingdom. This is how we have to do. This is different because we have been in a fallen state.
Amen.
So we got to get back to where God is at. And so we can't just sit there and no shame, no shame, no shame in my game. I can do what I want to do, you know, and you're doing all this stupid stuff. Everybody looking at you and you talking about you go to church on Sunday or sometimes come, whatever, and yet you're doing anything you want to do. That is not the life that's going to take you. First of all, it's not going to make you happy. You're going to be mad at everybody because you think everybody's looking at you because they are, because you're being judged because you're doing stupid stuff. And
God.
So we have to shut that down. Cowardly. Or let's go back to the King James Version. Let's go back to that now because I want to get it first in the original. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving. Mm-hmm. See, you can't be a person, you're a Christian, but you don't have nothing to show for your faith. You got to get started with believing for something and it come to pass.
Amen.
Like I said, we could still be sitting on the sidewalk out there talking about, we're going to build us a building right here. 22 years later, we still sitting on the sidewalk. Ain't no building, ain't nothing. We just sitting there, you know, in a pup tent trying to have church. Hello. Our faith ain't working then. We had to do something. We had to see something happen. Amen. So, you know, and a lot of times the pastor that builds the church don't even get to enjoy the church. Not in this case. I said, that's a lie from the devil. We gonna enjoy the church. We're going to enjoy. I've been enjoying it for 22 years. And the devil is a liar. So we have to be able to stand strong. And the abominable, put it in the New King James now, and you might even take it to the Amplified, but let's go to the abominable. It means abominable. It's abominable snowman. No, I'm just kidding. Abominable. The one. Let's go to the Amplified. Let's see what it's saying about this, because I want you to get it under. They're deceived and twisted. Liars. Okay, is that what it's saying there with that particular scripture? Okay, let's go back to the King James. It says abominable. You can look it up on your own, okay? And murderers. You can't just go around killing people. Now, right now, there's a part of our society that says, all right, if you kill some people for political reasons. No, you're going to be in this list, which means you got to go through the second death, which means you go to hell. If that's the way you think, this is a list of people that go to hell. Okay? People ain't got no faith. They can't even believe in Jesus. Can't even believe in nothing. There are some people, they won't believe nothing. I don't believe it unless I see it. Well, you ain't going to see it because it takes faith to see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if you can't see it, you're going to keep being blind because you don't have any faith to get it here. And whoremonger, I didn't even know it was there. I preached about it Sunday very strongly. Whoremongers, well, I got a bunch of girls, man. You know, I got all, you know, I call up which one I want to be with that weekend. You know, I go travel and they come with me. They on my arm. Yeah, I have to make appointment with the one that I want to be with. Shoot now. You whoremonger, you going to hell, sure enough. And you can't have a whoremonger without a hoe. You always want to talk about the man. The men, these men all here running around here, they ain't running around by themselves. They're finding somebody else running with them.
That's why in the New King James it uses the word sexually immoral. So, because that can
thank you, Mrs. Shorter.
Both sides of that.
So I say that any of that stuff is going to mess you up because you can't do that and have a clear conscience.
Right.
You can't keep doing it. and it's going to mess you up in some kind of way. You're going to start hiding. You're going to start ducking. You're going to start missing church, hiding from Christians, hiding from the pastor. Can't be there because it's not a fun life. All right, let's move on. Then sorcerers. Oh, I need my fortune told. You going to hell. That's your fortune. You in the list. Sorcerers. I'm serious. Our first lady talked about Ouija boards recently. Mm-hmm. And you talked about it for our television program, Open and Close. And I'm telling you, you got to get away from that stuff. You don't need nothing trying to tell you what your horoscope's going to be or what else. I mean, you know, fortune tellers and Ouija boards and you know, because my parents came from the South, from Louisiana way back then, and, you know, you eat some clay and you can be able to steal somebody else's husband and all kinds of, y'all remember that. See, some of y'all
never heard of that.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
I've heard of some
eating
of
clay.
I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, this is New Orleans stuff, okay? Yeah, sure enough. Am I right about it? Yeah. Yeah, I am. But they believe in that kind of stuff. And see, we can put where we put faith in the casino, but not God. You pay more at the casino than you put in the offering. Come to the church and put $5 and put $500 on the table. Mm-hmm. And God saw you.
People do that.
And see, you're using sorcery. Also, drug abuse comes from the term pharmakia, which is a form of idol worship, and it's a form of
witchcraft.
And the Bible says rebellion is at the sin of witchcraft. So when you're in a rebellious state against God, against your church, against your parents, or whatever, as a child, as your spouse, you can be in rebellion, and you're actually practicing witchcraft.
Employer. I mean,
that's right.
You can rebel against a lot of people.
So we have to watch all this stuff. Well, Pastor, how do we do all that? Well, you can keep reading your Bible. That's fine. Amen. And idolaters, where you make something else God other than God. You just idol worship everything. Some of it, our children.
Lord's bringing to me? Some people idol, they worship their time. This is my time. That's idol worship. Mm-hmm.
You're really worshiping yourself.
Time
then
is becoming an idol to you because this is my time.
Right.
My time, and you're worshiping your time where you don't give God any time.
Right. Now, we gave you the good stuff.
That's
now, I got you. We gave you the good stuff. We have to read both lists. We have to read the Riot Act to you.
Well, you got all liars
right here.
But
there's also the list that we gave you that there's no tears, no crying.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get mad because we're reading both lists. We got to read both lists.
Enjoy
the first list. That's your list.
Right.
This is the list for the people that ain't going to live right.
Right.
But you can't just do all this and be in the first list.
No. That's true.
You either in this list or that list. You can't be in both lists. Because this list disqualifies you from that list.
That's true. It's very clear.
So you're going to cry. You're
going to
be sorry. You're going to be in anguish. You're going to be all that stuff. I'm sorry. But see,
when I had that vision, I was crying.
You missed heaven.
When I was
missed that rapture.
Jesus came and was the graves were opening up. And I remember standing there. I was weeping. And after when I came out of that vision, I mean, I was weeping. I mean, really, you know, and I remember calling Cheryl. I said, we have to get, you know.
That was her buddy that was left too.
You have to get saved. You're going to have. But God had me to experience that vision.
Yeah.
So it's a serious thing. You don't want to miss heaven because it's going to be beautiful when Jesus returns.
That's right.
And you're going to feel stupid.
I'm still trying to figure out what kind of clouds he's coming in. No. Anyhow,
Well, I don't know.
He's coming in the clouds. Cumulus, nimbus.
I don't know, but I heard the sound of it.
Yeah. Oh, you did?
Yeah, the
did you see the clouds?
No, I didn't see the clouds. I saw Jesus.
Okay.
Well, I couldn't see
his idolaters.
Yeah.
All liars, line up. You in this group. You can't help yourself. You lie all the time. Lie to your employer, lie to yourself, lie to your mama, you lie to your daddy, you lie to your spouse, you lie, 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 lie. They all have their part in the lake. And I don't mean Lake Tahoe, Lake fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, that's I don't even like reading that. I don't even like saying it. I want to cut it off before then. But if I do not give you the whole counsel of God, I'm less than a pastor. I'm less than a preacher. I have to tell you the truth. Because you know some people that live like this. And you should be praying for them to get delivered, to get saved. And you should have an urgency in your heart that, hey, listen, you ain't got much longer. And you can look at them and you can see that they're dying doing what they're doing.
Also, the good news is that if you discover, say, hey, you know, I'm part of that list right there, you can go to God and ask for forgiveness because the Lord said he is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
In fact, let's pray that prayer right now. Okay? Let's pray a prayer, that prayer right there. Father, in Jesus' name, say this for me. Say, Father, I come to you now as one that needs these areas taken care of in my life, perhaps previously. Perhaps now. Either way, God, I ask you to cleanse me of these things, any of them that I may deal with. Forgive me. I plead the blood of Jesus over my life. And I repent. And I ask for your forgiveness. And I thank you, Lord, that my sins are now as far as the east is from the west. According to your word. Thank you, God, for accepting me and putting me in the other list now. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Let's thank God. Praise the Lord. You don't have to stay in no kind of crazy state of mind or state of life that you would normally be in because of sin. All right.
That's good news.
So that's where we use our faith. It does talk about that the ones without faith we know are not going to be making it. That's what I wanted
to
emphasize.
So thank God for the word tonight. Can we thank the Lord for the
word
again
tonight?
Praise God. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Why don't we just make that confession too then? Make a confession. Say, Father.
Father.
I thank you.
I thank you.
That you will wipe away.
Wipe away.
All my tears.
All my
tears. You will take away all the pain.
All the pain.
All the sorrow.
All the sorrow.
Father, I give you all the glory.
I give you all the glory.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
God.
Thank God. That's a good thing.
Amen.